My name is Ben Barrell, and this is Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that brings you an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. Welcome back. I hope you're good. I hope all is well in your world. It is a gorgeous spring day as I record this in London town. It's pretty good here in London at the moment. Nice weather. Although I probably should give you a little disclaimer, actually, though, at the start of the show. I'm feeling pretty tired today whilst recording this. I've literally just got back off a stag do. If you're an American listener, I believe you call them a bachelor party. I was the one arranging that party as well. A weekend of activities were all down to me. I'm disappointed to report that the group didn't want to sit round and talk about their favourite Bob Dylan albums, which was quite upsetting. So instead we played football and went to some bars and stuff like that. Oh, actually, it just reminded me, do you know what? This is why I'm mentioning it, because over the weekend I met not one, but two Bob Dylan Album by Album listeners on the streets of London. I know, this happens quite rarely, so for it to happen twice in a weekend was quite surprising. The first one was in a karaoke club. Not the ideal setting to discuss Dylan, but you know, fine. And the second one was a woman called Jessica, who it turns out works just around the corner from me and loves Bob Dylan, and we had a long chat about Bob and his work. So that was really nice. So hello to both of you. And do you know what? I think we should probably do it. We should, at some point in the future, maybe before the podcast, before we run out of albums, before the podcast inevitably runs out of albums, we should do a little Bob Dylan Album by Album London listener meetup. So I'll maybe arrange that for the next season. Meantime, let's get to today's episode, shall we? We are once again looking at the freewheeling. We've been looking at this album for quite a while now, and this episode concerns three songs that aren't particularly the most famous songs on the album, but are amongst my favourites. So let's get straight back to it, shall we? Let's once again go back to 1963 and go back to the freewheeling.
Honey, just allow me one more chance to get along with you. Honey, just allow me one more chance to do anything for you. Well, I'm a-walking down the road with my head in my hand. I'm looking for a woman needs a worried man. It's just a one-kind favor I'll ask you. Allow me just a one more chance.
In the final session for the freewheeling, Bob was back in New York and ready to complete what was to be his first great album. With much of it recorded, it was already in pretty good shape, which was in many ways a stark contrast to the album's journey. It had been a fairly protracted affair, considering that Dylan likes to churn songs out, especially in this era. I mean, Another Side Of would famously be cut in just one night. Here, it has taken a while, it's fair to say. But in the long run, with that London trip breaking the sessions up, they would only have benefited from this protracted process. The final session for the record happens exactly a year after the album had begun. That happened back on the 24th of April 1962. Back then, the LP was titled Bob Dylan's Blues, a name that had stayed until the July, and while the first session had somewhat unsurprisingly featured songs that didn't end up on the record, although it did feature an attempt at Carina Carina, which ultimately failed to materialise, a year on, there is much more productivity. Here they capture songs like Girl from the North Country, Masters of War, and Talking World War III Blues. This all happens alongside them capturing a song called Bob Dylan's Dream. While the title suggests an almost comedy song, which will be full of bizarre happenings and laughter in the sort of style that we get on the opening of this song's sequel, featured on the 1965 album Bringing It All Back Home, this is actually quite a conservative affair. It's nostalgic, even. It's one of the album's longest songs, and Dylan breaks our hearts with lines like, "I dreamed a dream that made me sad, concerning myself and the first few friends I had.
I dreamed a dream that made me sad, concerning myself and the first few friends I had." With half-damp eyes I stared to the room.
He retraces old memories like he's on his deathbed, reminding himself of the young carefree days he used to live. He sings lines about half-forgotten friendships and moments together like, "With half-damp eyes I stared to the room where my friends and I had spent many an afternoon, where we together weathered many a storm, laughing and singing till the early hours of the morn." And later he sings, With hungry hearts through the heat and cold, we never much thought we could get very old. We thought we could sit forever in fun, and our chances really was a million to one. Those sound like the sort of words he should be singing now in his 80s, not when he was 22. This goes back to what I was saying on an earlier episode as we looked at this album. Dylan has a curious wise head on him here. It's almost like he's a time traveller or, as he likes to suggest, lives multiple lives, being reborn. I think in reality, he's just really good at seeing emotions and human conditions and can understand them easily, leading him to be able to articulate them accurately. Take the final lines, for example. They are laced with nostalgia and a pining for what he had, lines that really shouldn't be coming from such a young man. He sings, "I wish, I wish, I wish in vain that we could sit simply in that room again. $10,000 at the drop of a hat, I'd give it all gladly if our lives could be like that." Interestingly, despite what I said earlier, it seems that Dylan, now obviously in his 80s, tries his best not to sound like this. It's like he's switched places, almost. His delivery here is interesting too. He sounds crisp here, knowledgeable and wise. Compare that to a song later, like the brilliant Oxford Town, where he sounds much younger with that slight country lilt to his voice. It's almost like he's acting out the part in this song. There's been some suggestion that this was written about his New York days. Dylan famously frequented the Gaslight Cafe, a noisy little club, apparently with steam pipes that knocked, which might have stuck in Dylan's head right up to the writing process for the Blonde on Blonde LP and a particular lyric that appears on that album. The club's entertainment director was the poet and stand-up comedian Hugh Romney. He later became famous as Wavy Gravy. He claims the distinction of having introduced Bob to the Gaslight audience. He also lived above the Gaslight Cafe itself. Apparently, Dylan had approached him about the possibility of performing at the club, and he began appearing regularly at the Gaslight's Hootenannies. Within a few months, he had debuted at the venue as a featured act, and much of that is down to Wavy Gravy, he says. The two were friends as well. Gravy said, "We'd smoke a little pot and I had a typewriter and Bob would slam away at it all in my apartment." And these moments could be reflected in this song, as Bob sings lines like, "By the old wooden stove our hats was hung, our words were told, our songs were sung, where we longed for nothing and were satisfied." Having said that, this could just as easily be about Bob's time in Hibbing or Duluth or anywhere. He does mention his first few friends a couple of times after all. There also seems to be some motion in the song as well, as it references travelling. So this might point to Dylan pre-New York, before he's become the big city singer he was becoming at this time. This especially might be true considering this song comes at the end of the LP's recording, where Dylan was already fulfilling his potential. But then again, Bob likes to talk of being born when arriving into New York, so perhaps the idea of his first few friends is just the first few friends of Bob Dylan rather than Bobby Zimmerman. Either way, it's a song about longing for the freedom and excitement of being young and carefree, or finding yourself in the centre of things and feeling like you can be anything. It's a song that reminds us of that feeling you have at the start of life's road. Because this is recorded after Dylan's trip to London, there is a, that's right, you guessed it, British folk song at the track's roots. It's got the same melody as a song called Lady Franklin's Lament.
We were homeward bound one night in the deep. Swinging in my hammock, I fell asleep. I dreamt a dream and I thought it true.
This song comes from around 1850 and has been found in Canada, Scotland and Ireland around that time. The song was first published in 1878 by Joseph P. Faulkner. As well as the melody, Dylan's song also shares lyrical similarities with Lady Franklin's Lament too. The closing lines in Bob's song are, $10,000 at the drop of the hat, I'd give it all gladly if our lives could be like that. In Lady Franklin's Lament, the song concludes on a similar note. £10,000 would I freely give to know on earth that my Franklin do live.
For my long lost Franklin, I would cross the main. 10,000 pounds I'd freely give to know on earth that my Franklin do live. To know on earth that my Franklin lives.
Next to this song on the Free Willings track list is one of my favourites on the entire record. Sure, it's not got the generational defining lines of Blowing in the Wind, the towering intensity of Hard Rain, or the sad beauty of Don't Think Twice, but it's understated and brilliantly delivered. The song is called Oxford Town.
Oxford Town, Oxford Town, everybody's got their heads bowed down. Sun don't shine above the ground, ain't going down to Oxford Town.
Bob gives us that slightly drawled delivery I mentioned before over what is actually a pretty simple little guitar riff. He plays D, a slight variation on D, and G as the chords. And that's it, just those three chords, nothing else. The song itself is a story, or at least Dylan's account of a story. It concerns the events at the University of Mississippi in September 1962. The actual song's roots, though, come from an open invitation from Broadside magazine for songs about said events. The music and lyrics of the song were actually printed in Broadside's issue number 17, coming in December 1962. And as an aside, among other submissions for this was the Phil Oakes song called Ballad of Oxford, Mississippi. The actual story behind all of this from the university is as follows. A US Air Force veteran called James Meredith was the first black student to enroll in the University of Mississippi in Oxford, Mississippi. When Meredith tried to attend the classes at the school, some Mississippians pledged to keep the university segregated. Unbelievably, that group of people included the state governor. Ultimately, the University of Mississippi had to be integrated with the help of the US federal troops. This is highlighted in Dylan's song as he sings, "He went down to Oxford Town, guns and clubs followed him down, all because his face was brown, better get away from Oxford Town." What I like about the lyrics here is Dylan captures the disillusionment of the event and its surrounding circumstances. On other songs, he gets angry about stuff like this, but here he sounds at his wit's end. This is summed up on the question that ends the following verse of Oxford Town around the bend, come to the door he couldn't get in, all because of the colour of his skin. What do you think about that, my friend? On the song, Dylan is quoted as saying it deals with the Meredith case, but then again, it doesn't. I wrote that when it happened, and I could have written that yesterday. It's still the same. Somebody better investigate soon. That's a verse in the song. What Dylan is saying here is that these issues seem to continue day after day. The song is almost as relevant now as it has ever been. Like we've seen with many Dylan's songs, including the one we looked at before this, it seems his songs are inspired about particular events, but have other parts in them too. The ending of this song isn't meant to conclude the story, it's meant to question us all once again. He sings, "Oxford Town in the afternoon, everybody singing a sorrowful tune. Two men died neath the Mississippi moon, somebody better investigate soon." Meredith's time as a student was extremely arduous, as the protests unfortunately didn't cease. But he gained a degree in political science in 1963, and others have followed in his wake. The next song on the album is track 10, Talking World War III Blues.
Time ago, a crazy dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking in World War III. I went to the doctor the very next day to see what kind of words he could say. He said it was a bad dream.
What I've always thought is important about this album, or any Dylan album that contains his finger-pointing songs, as he calls them, is there's always a mix of society and love. We never really get a whole album of just purely protest songs or a whole album of just socially conscious songs. The times there are changing. While it starts with the title track, The Ballad of Hollis Brown, and then God on Our Side, we also, coupled with that, get songs like One Too Many Mornings or even a song like Boots of Spanish Leather. And while we can't really say those songs lighten the mood because they are the songs they are, they do offer a different subject to be sung about. Dylan possibly deliberately makes sure he isn't ever just a political artist and nothing else.
I was down in the sewer with some little lover when I peeked out from a manhole cover, wondering who turned the lights on us.
On this song, though, we do touch upon that, and pretty much that alone, as Dylan talks us through a paranoid song that could only belong to the 60s. It has a heavy dose of one of Dylan's idols in it, Woody Guthrie. But the real brilliance of the song is that it's not only a track that details the fear and hysteria of the times, but it also satirises it too. Dylan's words and delivery are not like they are on Masters of War, for example. Here he's musing about it all with his tongue seemingly in his cheek. He sings, "One time ago a crazy dream came to me. I dreamt I was walking to World War III. I went to the doctor the very next day to see what kind of words he could say. He said it was a bad dream. I wouldn't worry about it none, though. Them old dreams are only in your head." Later, and despite apparently a bomb going off, we go into a sort of farce in the third verse's lines of, "Well, the whole thing started at 3 o'clock fast. It was all over by quarter past. I was down in the sewer with some little lover when I peeked out from the manhole cover, wondering who turned the lights on us." Our narrator appears to retreat underground as the bomb hits, only to pop his head out and see the bright lights of the explosion themselves. Later we hear of a post-bomb world still gripped by that farce, as Dylan sings, "Well, I rung the fallout shelter bell, and I leaned my head and I give a yell. Give me a string bean, I'm a hungry man. A shotgun fired and away I ran." After this, our narrator and his lover attempt to repopulate the world, Adam and Eve style. Bob sings, "Well, I spied me a girl, and before she could leave, I said, let's go and play Adam and Eve." This song does a good job of parodying the hysteria around communism and the atomic war at the time, and goes back to what I was saying earlier. Dylan always feels one step ahead of everything. Sure, he can be a serious artist with protest songs, he can be a love poet too, but he can also be the court jester, and he's all three of them here on the same LP. During this period, he had written a fair amount of talking blues songs, from Talking Bear Mountain Picnic Massacre Blues to Motorpsycho Nightmare to I Shall Be Free No. 10 coming in 1964, and the aforementioned Bob Dylan's 115th Dream coming in 1965. There is some suggestion, though, that this song ended up on the freewheeling album after another track dropped out, the infamous Talking John Birch Society Blues. This is another satirical song, and in it, a paranoid narrator is convinced that communists, or Reds as he calls them, are infiltrating the country. He joins the John Birch Society, an anti-communist group, and begins searching for communists pretty much everywhere. Dylan chose that song to be played on the popular and now legendary Ed Sullivan Show. However, during the show's dress rehearsal, he was told to cut the song and sing something else, apparently because the lawyers thought that the John Birch Society might sue on the grounds that the song had basically equated John Birch's views with Adolf Hitler. Dylan refused to change the song, and it became a story in the press. Apparently, Ed Sullivan himself wanted Dylan to perform the song, but the network, they weren't so keen. After this incident, it looked less and less likely that the song Talking John Birch Society Blues would be on the record, and indeed not too long after it was officially ruled out. The closest thing to it themically, though, that remains is Talking World War III Blues, and you get the impression that's why it ends up on the track listing. These three songs we focused on during this episode represent everything that is great about the freewheeling album. It cannot be pigeonholed. It can bring you something interesting from a different perspective throughout the track listing. Like, for example, a satirical song. It could also dazzle you with an understated protest song and offer up a 22-year-old singing like a wise forefather. Sure, there are bigger songs on this album, more important songs, more famous songs even, but look no further than these three to prove just how good this LP is.
Honey, just allow me one more chance to get along with you. Honey, just allow me one more chance to do anything for you. While I'm walking down the road with my head in my hand, I'm looking for a woman needs a word in man. It's just a one kind favor I ask you. Allow me just a one more chance.
That's it for this episode. As always, thanks for listening. Do you know what? I think Oxford Town might be my personal favourite song on the album, which kind of seems ridiculous to say because there's so many big songs on the album, so many great songs. I mean, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right is a favourite song of mine as well. But for some reason, Oxford Town, I really enjoy listening to that song. I think it's Dylan's delivery in it. I think that's my favourite thing about it. Share your thoughts on this episode and this album as well. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Bob Dylan Podcast and on Instagram under that handle as well. Our final look at the freewheeling will happen very, very soon. That's what the next episode is all about. In the meantime, there's another episode of Blood on the Tracks, this fictionalised account of Dylan's life I've been doing for iHeartRadio in America and Double Elvis. I'll put a link in this episode's description to the latest episode of that. We've got to a stage now of Dylan's career where things are not in the best shape. He's going through a little bit of a difficult time personally and professionally, and we tell some quite kind of sad stories, I guess, about that time in his life. So check out Blood on the Tracks. The latest episode is out right now, and I'll see you back here very soon for our final look at the freewheeling. Take care.